With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
Do I love you? Do I lust for you? Am I a sinner because I do the two? Can you let me know? Right now, please. Bonita Applebaum.
Bonita Applebaum. You gotta put me on. Bonita Applebaum. I said you gotta put me on. Bonita Applebaum. Gotta put me on. Bonita Applebaum. I said you gotta put me on. Bonita Applebaum. Gotta put me on. Bonita Applebaum. I said you gotta put me on. Bonita Applebaum. You gotta put me on. Bonita, Bonita, Bonita.
Welcome back. This is Good Moms, Bad Choices. I'm Erica.
And I'm Neela.
And what's up, girls?
What it do?
How are you?
Good. Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday.
I'm
good. Today we have a special guest. I feel like I'm saging in your face.
Vibes.
We have Daphne Waynes, my friend that I've known for a long time. Relationship expert, health expert, career mom, mama of five.
Doula.
I mean, is there anything you can't do, don't do?
I don't know. I mean, there are some things I don't do, but I do what I do well.
I actually met Daphne I was telling my mom, I remember the moment I met you.
No,
yeah.
Stop.
Yeah, I do. Because I'll never forget it. I was like, probably it was when my mom was working on Keenan's show.
Uh-huh.
And I came to see her, and we were sitting
in the late night show.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, so we were sitting in like that stadium seating or something.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And you came up to my mom, and I just remember you had really long curly hair. Uh-huh. And you weren't wearing a bra. And I was like, "Oh my god, she's not wearing a bra." And I remember I was probably like 6.
Still not wearing
a bra. And she's still not wearing a bra. I was probably like 6 years old or something, 6 or 7, and I was like, "She's so cool." Is that what girls do? Is that what like cool girls do?
Oh my god!
I was like, because my mom's always wearing a bra. I mean, I'm not at home, but at work.
Yeah, I'm not really.
I was like, she must be like super like she's like a hippie or something.
That's so interesting that that's what you got at 6, but you weren't far off. I will say I'd known. Okay, so. Can I just answer that?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm not a big bra wearer, and I found a little piece of information that justifies it. There's this book called Dress to Kill, and this anthropologist follows women that wore bras and women that didn't wear bras in these small tribes or something. I don't remember where. And the women that wore bras, they found there was a higher incident of breast cancer. Than the women that didn't. Why? It had nothing to really do with the bra, except that the mammary glands, these, need to hang because they're connected to the lymph nodes here, and when you're jumping and they're bouncing, they are cleansing, relieving, something like that, the lymph nodes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important. So if you have them up and tight like this, bound, then they're not allowing that whole lymphatic system to work.
Oh,
I'm so happy I now have this piece of information.
Well,
okay,
Jamila, you didn't need that piece of information. Right. You weren't going to be wearing bras regardless.
Right. So I wear them sometimes to be modest or to be like if I'm in front of men, I will wear them because I want to be appropriate. But it's not a part of my daily life. And then the second piece that justified it was I was always breastfeeding. I breastfed for 13 years straight.
Wow.
Like one after the next. So sometimes I breastfed a kid for almost 4 years. And I spent a lot of time doing that. So
there was no the bra was like, in the way.
Right. I mean, shirts were too much even, but the bra was just too much. So.
But that's funny because actually I literally like just thought about that moment recently. And I was like, when was the first time I actually met Daphne? And I was like, I was a little girl.
When I hear stories like this, like she just told the one, I'm always going, oh my God, was I, you know, you're just moving through life. I'm like, was I appropriate? Did I create a good effect? Did I? And thank goodness I always have. I haven't had anyone go, you are a fucking bitch. I know how my mind works. And I know in a moment I might be frazzled, I might be whatever, but I just, like, as I've progressed, I have learned to just slow down and really be there and be intentional, because I'm always like, when she said that, I'm like, oh my God, I did something stupid. When she said she saw me for the first time, I'm like, did I do something stupid?
It's crazy because I just told her before we started, I didn't know Daphne at all. So it wasn't like through a pair or anything. I was working at Whole Foods in Sherman Oaks when I was in high school, like as the bag girl. Mm-hmm. And the other cashier was like, basically like pumping you up while you were checking out. Like, oh, she's the bomb. She knows she has 5 kids. They all speak French. She probably wasn't wearing a bra. And I was like, well, that's right, my type of lady. You know, because I've never, ever wanted to wear many clothes or a bra, even in, you know, in high school. Right.
So when I hear that, I think, God, I wish I'd said something to you. I wish I'd met you. Or I was even just like all the people, even if it's just extraneous or extra people kind of around, and it's not like with you, I went to see your mom. So I didn't like, why didn't I speak to her?
No, you probably did.
No, I think you did.
You probably did.
But that's so interesting to now look back, like, why of all the customers of the 16-year-old self at Whole Foods back, like, I remember that distinctly. And yes, it's funny that you really don't know who's watching you.
Right.
And before we even became moms.
I feel like it happens to me all day, no matter where I go. In my mind, I'm like this little Amish woman tucked away. I don't go anywhere. I don't see anyone. I just go on my walk and I come home and I'm in my little sanctuary all day long. But then the moment I go out, I step one toe out of the house. Someone will go, I saw you, no matter what. Literally, I go on my walk. I go so early in the morning. On the weekends, there's no cars out. My gardener came to me later on the day. He goes, I saw you walking.
So basically, you got stalkers.
Right. He goes, I saw you walking down the street on Wilbur. It's like, oh my God, why did you see me? He goes, I almost hit you drinking your coffee.
Great. Well, you're just supposed to be seen. You got that type of energy.
You got good energy. You're beautiful.
I guess so.
Yeah, because I remember looking at you and I was like, she's like so free. I mean, did I even know what that meant
then?
I don't know. I mean, apparently, you know,
right.
I did.
Right, that's what you got. Like, she's not wearing a bra. Mm-hmm.
Note to self, I can grow up and not wear a bra.
Listen, I just gave up on trying to, like, conform to that. But it's always fun.
I never wore bras either until like now I have my boobs done, so now it feels like I'm supposed to. Because
really?
Because they feel heavier.
I know
you're
not on a show, but I want to see them.
You want to see
obsessed
them?
With boobs done.
They're really nice. What? We're on YouTube.
Oh.
I was like, is this that kind of show?
What the fuck are you
Wait,
doing?
Is it live? It's live?
I'm like, maybe she's just going to do a bra thing.
Right.
We're like recording on two.
That's different.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now you know.
Wait a minute.
No, I'm obsessed.
You're gonna flag us. No, I'm just kidding.
Wait a minute, though. Huh. I love it.
I'll show you
see them.
I'll show you them later.
They're I want to know all about it.
It hurt.
Yeah.
But I'm happy.
You love that you got them?
Yeah, I'm happy.
Really?
About them.
Mm-hmm. Why?
I just feel like, I don't know, I like them. I feel like they balance me out, right? I was insecure. I was kind of insecure about my boobs after I had Irie. And now I'm not.
What did you feel like? They were like small, saggy, what?
Well, honestly, I think I was going through a lot of things during that time, just feeling like outside of my body, not really knowing, like not recognizing myself anymore. And when I first went to go to the doctor, I was like, I think I need to get liposuction. And they were like, no. And I'm so glad I didn't do that. Because I don't need that. And I don't need these. It's just that I wanted them.
You found accoutrement.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a story about just about anything you guys want to talk about, unfortunately. Want to hear my boob job story?
Yeah.
Okay, so I go to lunch with two of my friends, and we're sitting like this. And so this friend is like a new friend, but this friend introduced me. And I'm like, damn, their boobs are good. And I want to stare so bad. And I want to stare at both their boobs. But I'm like, what the fuck? Like, how do they look so good? So finally I'm like, I'm sorry, your boobs are fucking amazing. I don't even want to try to keep whatever. And she goes, oh my God, you have to go to my doctor. I'm just like, I'm tripping how perfect they look. She goes, oh my God, you have to go to my doctor. He's amazing. He does me and my whole family. And I'm going,
this is such an LA thing to say.
I'm like, bitch, you are like 23. You just got those titties. What the fuck do you mean? Your whole family. And I'm like, really? She goes, yeah, I'm going to call him now. She gets me on and she calls. She gets me in the next day. And I'm like,
how did I get here?
She must get a discount.
Right. I'm like, I'm in Memphis. So I get there. The next day, and I'm like, do I go, do I not? They're like, just bring pictures of boobs you want. And I'm like,
hers? I don't know.
And I don't know. Like, I really, and all honestly, don't want to have to wear a bra. And I just want to kind of look at them. I don't think I want that. I kind of like being, you know, because I'm heavy bottom. I don't need to be heavy bottom man top. And so I get there, and they're like, can we see your pictures? And I have all these little bitty titty pictures. They're all like your size. And they go, and the girl goes, hold on. And she goes and she gets this big giant laundry basket and she goes, you see these? And they're letters. And they're falling out of her hand. She goes, these are letters from all over the world. There are people waiting 10 months to come here.
Oh no!
And she goes, I think you should go get yourself a little padded bra. Like the little titties you want. Now, let me back up and tell you who the person was that called the doctor for me to see him the next day. It takes forever to see him. Kim Kardashian. She's like, Daphne, I gotta call. You gotta go right now. Me and my whole family, all of us. And I'm looking like, bitch, what? You just got those titties. And the other one's Brandy. Brandy and Kim. So that's my boob job story. So then I decided to survey men. So I'm writing this series of books about the feminine arts. And they range everything from, they range from how to keep a home, the art of shutting the fuck up, the art of being selfish, the art of femininity, like the soft woman, because I want to return the soft woman. And so I surveyed close to 100 men. And I asked them a standard bunch of questions. So one thing I asked them was about work, boobs, face, all these other things. Mm-hmm. And I had some very interesting findings. Now, did you talk to a man before you got your boobs?
No.
Okay, no woman ever talks to men, mm-hmm. which I was fucking surprised. Because I was also, right after the Kim incident, with
I talked to, like, my gay homeboy, who was like, yes, bitch! Yes!
To me, gay men are the worst people to talk to about women.
They'll make you, you'll just be out here looking crazy.
It's just like not it. I don't even want to. That's what I don't want to talk about here is gay men because I have some very unpopular opinions. But
we'll save that conversation for later.
Okay, so I was out with this group of women, these Brazilian women, and they were like, and I don't really like traveling packs of women like that. I'm like more like a sisterly one-on-one. I'm not like a girls trip kind of girl anyway. And they go, let's go get, and they all had plans on all the shit they were getting done to their face and whatever. And I was like, did anyone consult their man about this? Like, and they all looked like, bitch, we don't talk to men about what they want. Like, we tell them what they're getting. And that was like a thing. Like, women hadn't talked to men about it. So when I talked to men, they had a very different opinion. Okay, so to the point of their different opinion, yesterday, my significant other ran downstairs frantically to me, and he goes, babe, I need you to make me one promise. And I go, what? He goes, just one promise, like, fuck everything else. This is really serious. And I go, what? what is it? Like, I don't know if I can promise you that. Like, I don't know what. Like, it's serious. And he goes, no work. And I go, what do you mean no work? He goes, no getting anything done. No getting anything. No lipo. No tucks. No boobs. No lines. No Botox. No anything. And I was like, what if this? I give out all this. He goes, I don't care. Nothing. Nothing. I can't do it. I'm telling you right now. I can't do any of it.
I'm telling you right now.
Huh?
I'm telling you right now.
Right. He's like, I can't do it. If you, like, are you thinking about it? Like,
oh, where did this come from? Was he watching the commercial?
So I'm like, why are you saying this? He goes, I'm scrolling through Instagram, and I'm looking at these women, and they just look fucking stupid. They look stupid, like weird, like they can't smell. Like, right. So he, and I go, this last conversation now lasts the whole day. And he's like, nothing. Don't, like, I love you how you are. If you fucking, if whatever, shit changes, it changes, but it changes by nature. Mm-hmm. I've already accounted for that. So, my survey found that men don't like it, period. And the biggest thing I heard was it makes them think she's weak. And he didn't know anything about, he's not even a part of my survey. He said the same thing. It makes him think she's weak and she would succumb to that. And it makes him not trust her. Mm. They said, because he thinks she's weak. Mm. Yeah, it was like a very interesting find. And
you know what,
now let me just say, that was black men. And most of my survey were black men. Mm-hmm. White men, on the other hand, and I only surveyed a couple like white trainers, were like, they didn't care. Mm-hmm. But I found that in that space, I'm sorry, I keep cutting you off. In that space, men want to trust in the sex intimacy space. They want to know that you're real. And that's one of the things. But anyway, that was like very, very surprising.
But black men be saying that.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was
they be the same mother jumpers in the DMs of the bitch with the big old booty and the titties and the weird lips.
No, I'm not saying that there aren't men. I feel like they, given the choice, that's like a fun toy thing. Okay. That's not who they want to settle down with. Right. It's like settle down versus, and I think they have, you know, varying degrees of it. Like how much stuff happens with the face. Like another dear friend just got like a lot done to her face.
A lot.
Like, it's surprising. I'm like tempering my words because we all know who she is, and her husband didn't say he didn't like it, but he ran up to me and was like, "Don't ever do it. Don't ever do
in
it
in front of her."
No.
Did you tell her?
No, no, I just was like, the vibe was different than don't do it. The vibe was like, this bitch tripped. And she tripped. She tripped because she's a beautiful person. A beautiful, stunning woman, and she tripped.
It's messed up. We're in a really weird space.
So,
well, I'm not about to do all that. I got my boobies done. I don't regret it. Do men think I'm weak because of it? I don't know. Most men don't even know I have my boobs done. Mm-hmm. Actually,
right.
The guy that I'm seeing had no idea. He was like, wait, what? Because they look very natural. Mm-hmm. And no, I didn't ask a man because I didn't do it for a man. I did it for me. And I didn't have a man, and I don't have a man. So there was no one to ask.
Oh, but I just meant like...
Actually, well, my baby daddy had a lot of opinions about it. And I didn't tell him. Someone else told him. But he had opinions because he was like, oh, so you have money to go
that
get
was, the... That has nothing to do with like the basics
and I was
of
like,
the boobs.
Stop counting my money. I handle what I have to handle. You need to handle what you need to handle.
Right.
The end.
Right.
Yeah,
that's a whole different argument.
That's a whole other story. It's a whole other... Yeah. Yeah, it has nothing to do with the titties.
Yeah.
But
you're happy.
I'm happy, yeah. But I can't imagine like doing anything like... Oh, it's too, like...
I'm scared of all of it. I have friends.
I mean, luckily, I have lips. I don't need them. And if
no,
I didn't,
and you have
good.
A stunning face. Like, you... Yeah. It would do you a disservice to do anything.
And I feel
but
like
sometimes,
a lot of girls that do them, they end up looking older.
Well, they're doing it so young, which is really strange,
also, it's a thing. Like, I want them to say, when they do it. And I know it's like, you don't have to, but I'm the whole time going... It's weird. Like, I'm looking at you and I know you did something. Bitch, you changed. Like, I just had dinner with my friend and the whole dinner, I'm like, bitch, you changed your whole face. Like, one of the top, like, 15 most beautiful women I've ever seen in my life. She changed her teeth. She changed her lips. she changed her teeth. Now she talks differently. Mm. She made her nose like, it's gross.
Probably, yeah. She probably went but to the that whole Orion, time. What's his name? Simon, or that's what the Kardashians
do too.
And they like build. He like builds a face. He doesn't even have to do surgery. To,
but oh, what like do you that? Think?
He'll literally give you a nose job without like giving you a nose job.
But
like,
do you say something or do you?
I can't. It depends how close you are, because I'd be like, bitch, you look different. What you do? Don't be coming to dinner pretending like you don't get a new face.
I probably wouldn't say anything. I would just be staring.
Right, that was
Erica,
me.
If I showed up, you hadn't seen me in fucking 8 years. I showed up to dinner.
Oh, you? Like, but like with you, yes.
You know, you're not going to be like, bitch.
Well, it just starts very, very slight. It's very subtle, and it's a little bit where you're like, am I tripping? Like,
right. Should I say something?
Right. Do I say something, or do I just let her live? Or, and I'm the whole time.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm going, why aren't you saying something? Like, say, I got it done.
Right. Well, so because you're not on that wave, mm-hmm. and I'm sure your kids are not on that wave, because you have, you have five kids, and you've raised them to be bra-free hippie.
That's just what they saw. Right.
Don't wear a bra, child.
Listen, they grow up quite hippie, and I'm like, not like I'm being that, it's just real deal.
No,
super
who you are.
Real deal how.
But I went to, when I went to Daphne's house the other night, and first of all, I had like very enlightening moments. So I texted Jamila afterwards. I was like, girl, I'm done having sex just for the fun of it. Sex is for procreation.
And for my husband.
And like, sex is confusing because it's specifically for procreating. And that's why we're fucking confused, because we're just having sex with people just for the fuck of it. Yeah. And also, you shared with me that your kids have never been to the doctor, which I was like, wait, never? Like, for anything? You're like, well, dentistry.
And get their teeth cleaned.
And I thought that was like, and you also said they never really get sick. And I.
Well, they get sick. Well, but I mean, it's okay to get sick. They don't get like, they don't have any disease. But we have like some shit in our. One has fucked up ass allergies, like, I'm going to die if I eat a nut allergy, anaphylaxis. The other one has, like, a little eczema situation. The other one had seizures like crazy. And I just dealt with each one as they came. And they've been sick, like, they've had colds and things like that. But all these things build the immune system. It makes you stronger. So every time you get sick, you build the antibody for that virus. But the moment you start not letting, it's a very intelligent design.
Were you raised that way too? Or
nope. Everyone's like, oh, she's raised like, no, I was raised by some Negroes. We didn't have that. But I will say, I had a very keen awareness when I was really young. Like, I had to verify this with my mom, but when I was 4, I went to a doctor. And I just remember not liking how they were treating me. And they were going to give me a shot in my arm. And I was sitting with my mom here and the nurse here. And the way she was handling me was like, how you handle this? Like, not like I'm a person. Like, I'm just an item. And she's going to do this to me. And I was like, I had the same soft voice that I have now. But I was a little girl, like very soft spoken. So people would assign me as shy. But I wasn't shy. I just had a soft voice. And I remember her trying to get right and holding me so that I wouldn't move during the shot. And then I just was like, something just said, say it. And I said, can I just have the medicine? And she was kind of like, I don't feel like doing this anyway. Let me check. And I had this real strong affinity for the doctor. She walked out and she asked him, and I could hear them behind me. She asked me if I could take it as a pill instead. And I just remember, like, saying, like, this very sincere, determined prayer that if I got out of this, I would never see a doctor again. And I was only 4, but I was like, if he says, if I get out of this, I ain't ever going to be in this fucking situation again. And maybe I didn't say it like that because I was four, but that was like the sentiment, right? And he goes, yeah, I don't see why not. And I got out of it. And then I think I didn't take the pills. And I was like, this ain't, I'm never going to be in someone's fucking care where they're just doing things to me. And I only remember being sick one other time after that. It was just more like a decision. Like, I decided I'm not going to be sick because that's not how I want my life. I don't want to burden others with it. I don't want to be in the control of other people. And I had another weird doctor thing happen that where something kind of like not cool happened when I was younger. So the last time I was sick, I was probably like 11 years old, but my children have not ever seen me sick. I just don't get sick. It's not even like in part of something that can happen for me. I'm like, no, that not me. Like when people are like, don't come near, I'm gonna get sick. I'm like,
I'm good.
I'm not, like, that's not how, that's not my story. Sometimes it's the consideration. And when I have been sick, it's weird. It's like 8 hours, just like a couple hours. And it's really like something stressful will happen. Like I'll get scared or I'll be just some kind of stress, some kind of upset. Mm-hmm. And I always feel like it's kind of this aura around you. Because why wouldn't we, how can we go to public bathrooms and be out in public and on planes and things like that and not get sick? You have this kind of invisible bubble around you. And the moment an upset happens, there's like an opening. Mm-hmm. And then anything can invade, right? So usually when someone comes to me and they tell me they're sick, I go, okay, well, tell me anything upsetting happened in 3 days, within the past 3 days. And always, always, like something, there's this one girl who had strep. And she had like proper strep and you could see it and everything, the virus in her throat. And asked what happened in the past 3 days. And she was a model. And she said, oh, well, I'm supposed to do this campaign that really goes against everything I believe in, but I didn't speak up. So that not speaking up affects the throat, right?
It's so funny. My landlord, she's really into like holistic healing, and she has her own line of like oils, and she always drops them off to me. And I get strep throat a lot. I actually haven't gotten it in a while now, like fully produced. I've caught it and been able to like get rid of it, which normally never happens. It's like when I get it, there's no going back normally. Right. But she was like, there's something going on in your throat chakra.
Right, I was going to say.
She's like, are you not expressing yourself? And I was like, I don't think I have any issues expressing myself. But maybe I'm not communicating something to someone to myself.
Thing. It could be the thing. I mean, yeah. It's just worth looking at. I'm not saying don't. That's not in lieu of medical advice or anything like that. It's just, I have such a low tolerance for being sick. My children are like, I'm like, I always say to them, like, okay, look, I'm going to take care of you for 3 days. And then I have this talk with them when I go after 3 days. Because I kind of feel like they get into it. Like, yeah, I'm just going to lay here. Can I have my tea? Can I have my massage? I'm going to do the most. Because I don't want to deal with this. Because also when you have five children, if it spreads around, I'm going to do the most. I'm going to quarantine you. I'm going to give you fresh air, lots of sleep, and liquids. That's like my standard treatment. And then after 3 days, I'm in your ear going, hey, dude. So I'm going to need you to know that you are in that body, so you control that body, and I need you to make some new decisions. So make some new decisions, because I'm not doing this all week. So your little nurse, your little nurse mommy is about to be out. You better make some new decisions. And that talk usually is like, just whips him into shape. But also my guy, he was one of those things, he had these kind of paradigms about his health where he'd go, oh, I get sick every January. Every time the kid gets sick, I'm sick. And I'm like, will you stop with that? Like, you're not. Why would that make sense? Your kid gets sick and you get sick. I said, it's called sympathy. Stop sympathizing with her. You don't have to. Sympathy means like same feeling. Sorry. It means same feeling, right? So stop sympathizing. And allow her to be sick on her own. You don't have to get sick because she's sick. Mm-hmm. And the moment he saw, I was like, yeah, I'm not doing this. Like, you're on your own, dude. I'll tell you what to do. Here's some sleep and some fresh air, lots of liquid, and get better. And he literally hasn't been sick in a very long time, and I think a lot of it has to do with happiness and stress level, too.
True.
So, yeah.
Did you give your... So, you know you have 5 kids. Mm-hmm. Did you give birth vaginally to all of them?
Vaginally to all of them?
And
oh, my, thank goodness.
How old are you? I didn't hear it.
I was a baby.
How old were you when you had your first...
A very baby. Very much a baby.
What's a baby?
Very young.
You can't tell me?
Well, because no, because then everyone starts doing math on how old they are. So it's pretty
okay,
young.
Okay, so young.
So it's very young. Younger than you guys. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how old are you? So you were young when you got married as well?
Yes, I was very young. And, well, I got married later, but I was in like a married like relationship very young.
How long were you married for?
I think it's like 15 years we were together, and then married for less, some portion of that, because I kept having children. And I had them all vaginally, and the first baby to the last are very different experiences. I didn't even know, obviously, what to expect at all, what to anticipate. I had in my mind what I wanted, but after the first time of having a baby in a hospital, I never wanted that again. Then I later subsequently started having children at home, which I absolutely love the experience. That makes me want to have 5 more children.
Would you have more children?
Yes. I would. If I got pregnant, I'd be fine with that. But I'd probably have a, you know, like do it myself. I don't know. I'd have a doctor or anything, just me and my...
You would do an unassisted home birth?
Yeah.
Have you had an unassisted home birth before?
No.
Or you've had midwives?
No, but...
You feel like you could do it?
Yeah.
You might be my spirit animal.
Yeah, I love it. I want to be your spirit animal. Yeah, I could see that, doing it on my own.
Yeah, I wanted to have Luna because I was broke and my baby daddy was broke, and I was like, I'm not going to the hospital. Yeah. And I was like, I'll go to the doctor up until, and I told her, I was like, I'm having the baby at home. I didn't tell her I was going to do it unassisted. I was going to have my home girl, who's had 3 kids at home. I was like, you think your mom will come down here and like help deliver the baby? I was like, ask her if you think she's like, you know, experienced enough. And she was like, yeah, I've seen it like at least 5 times. I think I could do it. I'm like, cool. Mm-hmm. So during my due date, like, just come down. I'll give you $500. I was like, I'll give you $500 and let's just do this. I'll get the kit. Anyway, I end up having like high blood pressure and all this other, you know, blah, blah, blah. Then they like fuck shit up. And
so, how'd you know? Oh,
I went to my doctor's appointment, and that day she was like, your blood pressure's kind of high. I'm like, I'm going home. She's like, I think you should stay. So that played him out the door. But I'm all about...
I feel like they can do that to that. They can tell first moms just about anything.
Mm, that was
anything.
Me.
And
yeah,
just,
that was
they
me.
Will tell you
and then
everything.
Just a downhill.
I wanted
you.
I wanted a home birth too, and I had no support. Like,
I
no one supported
me.
I
remember.
That's what I said.
I remember a couple of weeks before you were gonna be born. I don't want to be ever pushy with it, but it's just like, it's very hard to talk to first time moms. They're very much stuck on what they know. They're not, very rarely are they willing to relinquish it to someone who has more experience.
Well, I think pregnancy, especially for first time moms, is so over medicalized. There's so much fear. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so much fear around it. That, mm-hmm. I had an experience, a hospital experience, not at 4, but like I was 15, and this girl I went to high school with got pregnant early, and she was having a baby. We weren't even that close, but I was just like so sympathizing, and I'm like, was there for her. But I remember going to the hospital with her, and everybody was just moving around quickly. Shit was beeping. Everybody was obviously panicking. Did not say one word to this girl or to anyone. And right. I'm like, I will never. I remember thinking, hell no.
Right.
This is fucked up.
Right. Right.
Like, and then they're like, you have to get cut open. You have to get a cesarean.
Oh,
the baby is losing its breath.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, why would anybody come do this? I'm like, this is scary. And then after that, I met my friend who had 3 kids at home, and I was like, oh, that makes way more sense.
Mm-hmm.
It never like sat well with me.
I had no point of reference. I just knew I wanted to have a home birth, and then I even met with midwives, but baby daddy was not supportive. Family was not supportive. My doctor scared me and made me feel like being irresponsible.
Yeah.
And so
I know the difference between like some of my children I had and left the hospital 30 minutes later. And I paid cash because I just...
So then you did have some
nothing.
So then you did
mm-hmm.
have some of your kids
mm-hmm.
in the hospital.
Yeah, I left with Nala. I left 30 minutes later. And... I paid cash. It was $25,000. that was it.
You're like, I can't remember just giving you 25 stacks.
I mean,
for
right,
me
but it was
pushing.
Like for like a real amazing midwife, I think it was about 4 or 5 grand.
Yeah, it's usually
like four or five grand. But even then,
so why did you go to the hospital then?
Because I wasn't getting the support from my husband, and and then finally, you know, it took some. Like he was nervous about it. I was like crawling in the parking lot. I was like, I'll have it in the parking lot before I go in there. And that was how that happened in 20 minutes. I walked in the door, had her, and was like, I can't do it. Like another motherfucker walking here, just checking on me. What the fuck are you
checking? Oh my God, that. Oh my
fucking
God.
We're just checking.
You need to rest. You need to rest. Are you okay? We need to wake up. Wake up.
Yeah, waking you up.
Oh my God, waking up every 5 seconds.
No.
I was like,
bitch, who are you? Introduce yourself. I'm just walking here. Who the fuck are you? And what are you doing here? What are you checking on? Everything's fine. Leave. I said, one more person walking here. We walked in. They're like, we're calling security. Bye. Call.
Yeah, it's so important. I can't stress it enough, like, to do research and to have, like, a birth plan. Because even I had a birth plan. I had copied that shit, written it all out.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I was like...
Doulas are great because they help you keep the plan. But if you... Yeah. If one of your options is to go to the hospital, once, you know, as a doula, once you get to the hospital, it's just... A lot of it's out of your control and you're watching them, like, what they're doing. You're like, this lady... I just had this one client recently... We weren't there. She just went to check, and I was like, they're going to check her and send her back home. She's not ready, but that was what she wanted, to feel comfortable. This bitch went and broke her water. I knew she was doing it. She broke
her
water.
She didn't say anything to her?
She was like, oh, you're not ready. She's like, let me check. She's doing it, and I knew what she was doing. It just took too long. She broke her water. And then she stood up, and she's like, I think my water broke. And she just, and the lady's like, oh, okay, you don't have to leave now.
No.
And she just did it.
Daphne.
It happens all the time.
Did you say anything?
Well, because she was like, oh, I want to call my colleague to come in here. I said, no, it's fine. You said she's not ready. We'll go back home. She goes, oh, no, I just want to call her in to see my senior so she can see, and we'll just have her check it out too. And I was like, no, I think we're good. And she's like, it's okay. We'll just whatever. So, okay. She did it, and she's just taking a little bit too long. Like, wait, let me see. And I saw her push. She just broke the water.
They'd be lying and doing all types of stuff.
Or they'll, like,
shit.
Scrape the membrane.
Yeah.
To just, you know,
shit
invasive.
They had no business doing.
Yeah, they broke my water.
Yeah.
And then I ended up getting a C-section.
Right, because that's the whole...
Because
that's
you
what
disrupted the process.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and they use, like you said, scare tactics. They'll sit there and they'll tell you, oh.
You could die. Your baby could die.
You could die. The baby could die. Like,
and who's, what mom? You're like, great.
Right.
Well, do what you got to do.
Right.
That's crazy. So you also, which I think is very interesting and I guess untraditional, as you and your ex-husband live basically in the same gated community, like a few houses down from each other.
Five houses.
You like borrow sugar and all that?
Yeah, sometimes.
So when you got a divorce, so you just moved out and got another house in the same community, or how did that work?
Okay, so we got a divorce. This is like a pretty popular story, but I'm sorry, just checking. I shouldn't be doing this during this, but I just want to make sure. Got a divorce, found a house, and then I'm actually saving the story for something else, but sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just was noticing the time. So, and then he moved down the street.
Oh, but he moved down the street from you.
Oh, you found
the
house.
Well, the thing is, this is what I'll say. Let me just give you the short story. Well, let me just give you the short story. You shouldn't talk shit to men with means, because they have ways. So I'm driving down the street in my little community, and I'm waiting for this. I'm behind a big moving truck. So I'm just watching, like, oh, they must be happy moving into their house, and they're moving stuff out. And I was like, oh, I have a table like that. I have that base. I have a chair like that. And then I like step back and have like a whole pan of everything, and it's all my stuff. And this fucking heat wave comes over my whole body. I'm like, what the fuck? And I just realized this is all the stuff from my house that I just lived in. I just moved out of a few months ago. So, and I was like, this can't be real. This can't be real. This can't be real. Because he'd said to me when we were in the early stages of our divorce, he was living like further than we lived, and our life was kind of centered here. And he's like, I think I should move around here. I was like, yeah, I don't know why you moved all the way over there. That's not going to work. He's like, yeah, I think I should move around here. And I was like, And then I heard him on the phone. He's like, yeah, I think I'm going to look in here where Daphne is. And I was like, wait, no, too close. Not like that. Too soon, too close. And he's like, yeah, I don't think so. Maybe you're right. I don't want to mess with your vibe. And I was like, yours too. I just see. And I connected him with a realtor. And I was like, whatever you do, not here, but the greedy-ass realtor.
The greedy.
That nigga. He was like, he wanted a house here.
So how long you guys lived in the same community?
Well, at first it was just very awkward. It wasn't the plan at all, but then it worked out because we had a very consistent schedule, like 1 week on, 1 week off.
And the kids just walked down the street.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Walk down the street. So it has a lot of benefits because your baby daddy's down the street and they have to go there anyway and we have a schedule. But it also doesn't work when you have, as I say, little girls are. They're just real humdingers.
What does that mean?
A humdinger is like, if you look it up, I think it's like something incredible. A humdinger. So that's what girls are. Girls are really something else as children. You have someone like, well, I'm leaving.
Oh, they're coming over to your house?
Yeah, just like,
you can't come here.
Leaving like, I might then get the fuck out. And it's just going five houses down. So it doesn't ever really make you work things out when you know you could just run five houses away.
Right.
So that kind of gets messy. That part is like, it sounds like fine and dandy. People are like, you guys are so civilized. You just worked it out. You lived down the street from each other and raised your kids together, which we did do. And in the end, it worked out.
But it initially...
Was that difficult when then people are dating other people? You can see who's coming over, who's been there 3 days. That car's been there.
Speak for him, but for me, it was fine because I was never like that part of our relationship had ended. And we were just so I also do in my relationship consulting, I do uncoupling and family reconfiguration because I have a lot of expertise in that. Because you just realize, like, okay, we're not a couple anymore, but what are we? And how do we continue to be that in a way? And it's still a relationship you still have to work out. And so I was done with that part, so it was fine. Whatever, I didn't really care. I don't know about for him, but it was pretty civil for the most part. We had a few incidents.
We've never had anyone on and discuss divorce because I didn't get to the marriage part. Mm-hmm. Thank God. Mm-hmm. Your divorce obviously was like much more high profile.
Yeah, that part
a
was
lot
definitely...
and very expensive. Yes. Which all divorces can be expensive, but
no, it's just not the business.
But
It was arduous, it was scary, it was lonely, it was confusing, it was I'm going to turn this down. I'm just seeing how far I am from my destination. Sorry. It was... let me just see if I have to leave. I'm supposed to go somewhere.
That's when you have to leave.
I thought I had to leave now, but maybe not. I'll see. It depends. It's like, I think you have to exhaust all efforts
before you do divorce.
Yeah, like, are
you... Do you feel like you did?
I feel like I did. I feel like he didn't. I feel like what I thought at the time, it was the most confusing thing. It was never in my math. It was never what I wanted. It was very, very heartbreaking. It was the death of something and the beginning of another thing. And I think it was like something I couldn't stop from happening. And now in hindsight, I'm very happy it happened because it forced me to be a different kind of person and who I probably really am, who I couldn't be in that.
Was it mutual?
No, I didn't want a divorce. He wanted a divorce. I think it gets sticky because I don't want to say things on here, but long story short, it was his origination. And at the time, I didn't think that was a good idea. I didn't want it. I couldn't imagine. I didn't want to do anything else. I didn't have, like, you guys probably have, like, career aspirations. I couldn't find anything else that sounded, like, more fun than being a mom and a wife. So it was all I ever wanted to be, was a mom and a wife. I didn't want to be an attorney or a teacher or none of that sounded, like, more fun than being a wife. So I was doing my career as a wife and a mom and raising a family. And I think that he wanted that, and I couldn't wrap my mind around, like, what would life, like, if someone said, we're going to get rid of the floor of the earth right now, and then you're going to, and then Friday will be Friday. You're like, but wait a minute, right. The ground is gone, the bottom's out,
where are we walking to?
Right, where are we walking? Or if someone's like, yeah, the sky will be gone tomorrow, and you're like, I can't even fathom that. I can't, what does that mean? What does that mean? We're not married. We don't. How does that even work? But I couldn't be who I am in that. There's just no room for it.
It's limiting.
How did that affect your kids?
I think now.
How did you tell them?
They were really young, and I just told them. And it was like for them, kind of scary too. I think they're gonna react to the parents. They never felt like it's because of them or anything like that. Thank goodness. I made it very clear, we can't figure out how to work out our differences. But what I learned later was the same differences you have to work out in the relationship, you have to work out in the divorce. And it's much nastier in the divorce to work it out.
Because there's so many other people involved.
Yeah,
as well.
And I think when you get married, you're kind of hoping that you can continue to grow, but you can do it together.
Right.
Even on your own. Everyone has their own journey. And every relationship has its own journey. And that one just had, it was at the end of the journey of that in that way. So then it had a rest of a journey because we have children together. And that journey was different. But the husband-wife part, I think, was over. Like, we'd done our work together as husband and wife.
So what's dating like with 5 kids after a divorce?
Well, I guess I also was not ever a dater. I don't even get it. You know, you said to me something dating. I'm like, what does that mean?
Well, because you're in your relationship. You're in the person you were going to be.
Well,
in your
also,
marriage,
I'm like a in love person. So I have 2 speeds. Like, if you go in your car and there's neutral and reverse and all this other shit, if there were drive and park, that's me. There's 0 and 100. So which speed do you want to go?
Right.
You want to do 0, you want to do 100. That's it. So I'm like, I meet a guy and I'm like, in 30 seconds, you want to be married? If that's a no, then I'm like, oh, I have friends. What do you want to do? I don't even understand dating, what that means. Like,
what are you saying?
It sounds like constant.
So you
text driving.
Yeah. Like, you always, whenever you're, if you decide to spend time with someone or become,
it may not work out,
but like, you need to know that
that's an end goal. You want
to
be married.
I have to know the end goal. The end goal can't ever be like, I give up some ass, you trip, you're weird, I'm tripping. No, yeah, that ain't it at all. I need to know you're invested in my life. Like, this is, I can see that in you. If I can't see that in you, then it's not, it's zero, speed zero.
You go, when we were talking the other night, we were talking about open relationships because, and you were saying how they never work. And we had an episode about open relationships and, you know, it was actually, we probably did it about 9 months ago or was it
I'd like to see where it works.
Yeah. But 9 months ago, we were, but like, yeah, yeah, it was with Supriya.
That was last June. It was like a year ago.
Almost a year ago. And, I think we're in a time now where so many, like, people are, want open relationships. They don't want commitment. And even me, like, I feel like I definitely want commitment. I need commitment. But then again, like, do I think I could have sex with one person my entire life? No. Or I could, but do I want to? You know? And like,
but when it gets down to the basis of it, like,
well, then you talk
the
about
what, sex is like, is it just a thing that goes in, a penis goes inside a vagina, or is it like a connection thing that you're having? And is it love? And is it, you know what I mean? Like, when I hear people say, like, oh, I don't want to just have sex with one person. It's so much.
I think it's definitely connection. I mean, it's not about just a penis and going in the vagina.
Right. So then what could you have connection with other people without that level of intimacy where you open up your like most sacred treasures?
You're saying
and offer that
there's ways to be intimate and connect with people without it being sexual.
Yeah. When people say open relationships, and it's just like who you reserve that for. Cause what I find most often is people will waste it, even if you're not. So, you know, they'll waste it. Something will happen, or it just gets messy and confusing. And if I have other goals, that one is my real space where it'll fuck everything up. So
when you're
in a relationship, like any confusion there will affect everything else. So,
which is why I'm not in one.
Yeah, I mean, it's you just got to be in the right one, or it's one where there's a mutual agreement, right? But when I hear this thing about open relationships, I get it. Like, everyone wants what they want. You know, when I'm driving in traffic, I want a helicopter, and I want to just be like, fuck all this traffic, and I want to ram all through it. But there are, you know, a few guidelines there that work for a reason. Lines in the freeway work for a reason. The stoplights are really helpful when it's my turn to go. It gets confusing in those spaces. So,
have you ever, of all your relationship expertise coaching that you've given, have you ever seen, or within friends even, like a successful open relationship?
Kind of in polygamous cultures like in Islam, or kind of, I see a little bit more order there, but it's a little bit different. Because when I hear people say, talk about open relationships, you're only getting a little piece out of the relationship. You're getting sex. Do you know how easy, like, before I could get up and get a glass of water, I could have had sex 20 times. That's the easiest thing to get. And women are giving up what's so sacred about them that easily. It's so easy to get. So in the open relationship, the person's not, it's usually like, sometimes it'll be a married couple with a person on the side, and the person on the side has several people on the side, and they don't really get they get like kind of partial benefit of they get sexual benefit from the couple. And then they have another thing going on, and it's a lot of hiding you have to do. A lot of hiding. And that hiding is a bit of a burden. You gotta hide your phone. You can't let the other person know.
Well, what if it's not about hiding? What if you're in a relationship?
If it's open,
if you're in a relationship and it's open, rarely is it really, really open. But like when I saw in cultures like in Islam, right, where they might have several wives, they did the honor of marrying the woman. It's not like a side piece.
Right.
You're not like, here's your house, here's your staff, I'm going to take care of you, I'm going to father these children, you're only getting a little piece of it. So if someone's like, and that was for other reasons, there shouldn't be single women raising children. Sons and daughters need dads, and they need that kind of a figure. So when I see women just giving it up for, I mean, what are you getting in an open relationship?
I don't know.
Like, don't you want some commitment to that?
Well, I guess you could have commitment from that couple. Like, I guess, I don't know.
I haven't seen it. Let me just answer your question. I haven't seen it. I've seen it kind of in some cultures where the person's like, no, we will formally be married. Right. You are my wife. This is my wife. They're not compared to each other. There's not, I see a little bit more cooperation in that area. I see big, big, big families. Right. For the, I need to procreate with you. I need to create with you. I need to spread my seed. But it's more like the powerful man. It's not like have a bunch of wives in an apartment. No. These women got like real ass separate, shit.
Yeah.
They got, yeah. No, like a big ass house or a big ass bank account. Or, you know,
right.
People enough that are there that right. support that. Yeah. Yeah. It's very different. But when I see open relationships, what I instantly think is these people are kind of together, but then they each do that with like three other people, and then they each do that. And I'm like, it's a lot of transferring of
fluids,
energy, heart, a lot of it is messy. It's messy.
Feelings. I went on a date.
And then, the rules. There are a lot of rules.
Oh, then there are rules.
Like, especially once you start to have multiple partners during sex, like threesomes and things like that. There are actual rules. Like, don't look her in the eyes.
Don't kiss her.
Don't kiss her. Don't come inside her. Don't. Like, there are rules yeah. in it. Like, who? Is there a fucking referee there?
Right. Bring it up.
Foul.
Time out.
Right.
That titty is not to be touched. We told you that.
Right. I saw you looking her in the eyes.
All right.
And the thing is, all the intimacy is designed not only to create babies, but the reason it's the highest, the greatest feeling is because it's the highest creation. So the only thing that matters, this is what we talked about on my walk this morning with Bae, that the only thing that matters really is love. That's all that fucking matters. Like, if you have all the money in the world and you don't have that, it doesn't matter. If you have the greatest person in the world and you don't love them, but, like, someone who's trash, who you just love anyway, it's all that matters. So, in that, that's not everyone's having sex and wanting all these experiences, but it's just a doingness is what I'm trying to say.
It's like
just
like a love.
It's just a machine kind of a thing or a mechanical kind of thing. It's not, it's lacking the piece that's really there. Because you can have orgasmic-like experiences without ever even touching.
It's true.
But the woman is giving up and putting so much wear and tear on herself for what's very, very sacred about her. And it's not like, you know, vagina is vagina. Right? It's the being. It's the person that, I don't know. I don't want to get like on a tangent about preaching about that.
No, but. Well, I mean, when we were talking the other night, I was like, oh my God, she's so right. I told Jamila, I was like, I can't do an open relationship. I mean, I'm not really doing that right now because I'm in a relationship with someone. I mean, I have a relationship with Jamila. I mean, this person
right.
I spend time
but
with.
But the intimate, right.
But, yeah, I was like, I don't think I can do it. Like, I thought the idea of it sounds good, like, appealing because of this, I think a lot of it is because in my last relationship, you know, there was so much miscommunication, there was a lot of lies, there was a lot of cheating and all those things, and so part of me was like, do I feel like I want to open a relationship because I feel like I don't deserve...
Right, it's a compromise from what your original, it sounds like a compromise from what your original, what do I call it, purpose is, right? So it's like a failed purpose. Like, if I say, I'm on my way to Paris, and then something happens, and I go, well, I'll just go to Paris, California instead. It's like, that's not what my journey was. My journey was to do this. Your journey was to be married. And I don't want to tell you about you, I'm just saying, suppose this, mm-hmm. right? Was to be married, have a happy family, and all this. But thing one and two weren't right. You're a fucking liar. Which is fine. Just keep that over there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't... Or we can be together. I just know you're a liar. So everything you do, I'm going to go, you lied. You're lying. I'm going to call you out every time. I'm not going to act like I'm... You know, like, you have to... It's okay. I want to create a safe space for you to just tell the truth. And a lot of times I see women who go, he's a liar, and if he lies to me, I'm going to... And I go, sometimes if you're asking someone to tell you the truth, you have to just allow them to do that. Mm-hmm. You can't be punitive after. Mm-hmm. You have to allow someone to fuck up. So are you willing to love that person through that? Because again, we all came with our whole set of our blueprint for our lives. Mm-hmm. And then we incorporate people in it. But my blueprint is still to get from here to there.
Mm. It's so easy to, you know, there are a couple things. Like, why buy the cow if you get it for free? But it's also, what is your goal if you're just in it to just have sex? That's a goal. But what does that leave you feeling like, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to think, like, just love, it's okay to let people be free. I don't want to like continue from doing what you're going to do regardless. And like, mm-hmm. I think that it's maybe not natural, like our animal instinct isn't to be monogamous maybe, but I've come to the conclusion that I probably could not be in an open relationship because I'll cut you. Mm-hmm. And also I don't...
And we live in a higher kind of an animal, right? Like,
yeah, more
thinking and reasonable. It's not like we're totally like
animalistic.
Like a whale has been a whale forever. A human has created airplanes and iPhones and computers.
Evolved.
And so it's our minds that make us quote unquote superior. It's not because we say we are, it's because our mind is able to break the laws of life, right? So I think in a society, if a they said,
careful with that wire.
I'm definitely not going to touch it. I'm not going to touch it, I promise. In a society where the family is the cornerstone of that society, mm-hmm. there's the world, and the cornerstone of that is the family, and then the cornerstone of that is the marriage, then there's a breakdown of that, and it just gets to be a bit chaotic. And the term of those marriages, though, you know, is something else, like how long they are meant to last, these kind of relationships. But I don't know, it breaks down the whole family, and women are out here just, you're designed to be attractive to men. I see women work way too hard. Mm. I understand in cultures where they're modest because it's too much. In the one of the kind of disciplines of Islam is you don't look a woman in her eyes because it's too damn much. It is. It's too much. You don't. It says lower your gaze. She's too much. Her voice is too much. I see it all the time. I answer the phone. It's
well,
too much.
Well, that soft-ass voice, Daphne.
Right, but you both have the same soft voice, too. Mine might be a little bit more powdery, but... it's just the design that men should be attracted to women. So when I see women and titties pushed up, ass all out, and that's fun, but it's a lighter touch than that.
Is that what you mean when you say like the soft, bringing back like the soft woman?
Yeah, because when I ask men what they like to see a woman in, that was one of my questions. It's never bodycon, heels, you know, like fat squeezing out on the side. It's always... They don't know how to call it, but they call it a sundress and some flip-flops. Clean nails and smelling like soap. And because they want to smell a woman. And it allows them to imagine, to have their imagination. And their imagination never is like, oh, it's hard to unbuckle her. She got a big bra on. And I got to stick my foot on her back to unzip her dress. It's always like you just lift up her dress like a tissue. Or it's very light and she flows past. And they can imagine. So, yeah, it's a much lighter touch than that. Men are designed to be attracted to a woman. There's never a woman that walked by. And men will tell you. Every woman that walks by, I just... consider. It doesn't matter if she's working at a market or if she's in a tight dress, or it's a lighter touch than that. So the soft woman has her power is her softness. Her power isn't in being like a man, being loud and boisterous.
boisterous and masculine.
Well, what if you are just loud and boisterous? What can you, like, you can't, can you bring that back?
Well, I don't mean like you have to have a soft voice. It's just like we've been put in a position, a horrible position, where we're like now become competitive with men. And the wholeness of life is when a man and a woman together, that actually is the recipe for life, is a man and a woman together. No person is, I don't care how gay you are, how one way you are, you're not exempt from being part man and part woman, part mom, part dad. So the wholeness of life is the reconstitution of that when the two of you come back together. Men can do, I don't want a man that can do what I can do. I don't need you to do any of the things I'm expert at. I don't need you to. There's not a competition. And I see men sometimes say, like, oh, I can cook, I can whatever. It's okay. You can also go chop down a tree. You can do some physical labor. You can do some things I don't want to do. And I, you know, you can be, you know, security minded. Or things like that. We don't have to do the same thing. That's what a complement is. A complement, if you look at a color chart, the complement of orange is green. No, is that right? Green is made of what? Blue and yellow?
Mm-hmm.
No. So yeah. Green is yellow. Blue is yellow, mm-hmm. Right? No.
Like the on the chart.
No.
Like that.
Blue is anyway, it doesn't contain, yeah, blue is orange. I'm sorry. Blue is orange, right? And red is green. Because red has no green in it. Green is made of blue and yellow, right?
Yeah.
So green has no red in it, and red has no green in it. Mm-hmm. And they intensify each other.
Right.
On a color wheel, right? So it's the same thing. Like you intensify each other but without encroaching on one another. So I never want to encroach on a man's masculinity. I let you do what men do. No, and I'll do what women do.
I agree. I can, yeah.
But who defines what women do and who defines what men do?
This is what you would do by nature, right? There are some roles that are a little bit more suited for a woman. Hmm. A woman, like, we pay attention to small, fine details in life. Men don't. When I would ask my husband to watch the children, I'd come back and be like, what level of shit show is this? Like, babies in diapers, hair undone, oh, rice all day? That's what you guys have? And he would go, very simply, ain't nobody dead. Because that is a man watching a kid. He's making sure no one dies. Me, I'm like, do you want to learn how to clean it? Would you like to learn how to make a cup of tea? And we could learn your alphabets while we're sitting here. And you can write. And you can clean up after yourself. I have a million things that are going to happen in that time. And a man's like, hey, did nobody get hurt? And that's kind of how they see the world in a very broad macro. I say men are macro, women are micro. And it's, you know, women who create like fine detail and beauty. A man, when you go to a man's house, he is like a TV and a sofa. One pillow and a towel.
I know some women like that though too. Yeah. You know, that are macro. And not micro.
Yeah, yeah. I think that the design is to kind of merge the two. But I like it when they have two different roles. That's just my personal preference. And it's also like, just because you can doesn't mean you have to.
So marriage, would you do it again?
Absolutely.
Like legally?
Yes.
The legal, even after divorce and everything?
I don't like dating. I would marry. I always only want to be married. So given the right circumstance and we can work it out, the man I'm with, I'm always with a man that I want to be married to. So can you work out the kinks to get to that point? But I start off, that's thing one.
Is there like a time limit or do you just know when you know? Like in, as far as like being with someone before marriage?
I think it's like a communication thing. I want to see, can we work out a problem? I think in order to say how great something is, you have to see how the level of bad it can get. Like, what does your mad look like? What does your angry look like? What does your hurt look like? What happens if I hurt you? Or how able are we to communicate and work out or untangle a problem? We can't. How much are you going to hold on to? Are we friends? Do I feel like you're my friend? Because that's all of these relationships are, just friendships. Even with your mom. Once you don't need your mom to kind of show you and rear you in that way, it becomes a relationship of choice. You are with your mom not because you need her teaching you mom things, but because she did a good job as being a mom, so you continue that, but you choose that. You choose every time, like, this is a friendship I want to have. So the same thing in marriage. I feel like it's more like who you make love to and who you wake up with every day. So once I get the feeling of, like I wake up every day and I'm like, I'm so happy you're here. And I go to sleep and I think, I'm so happy you're here. So could I do that for another, you know, could I commit to doing that, waking up and trying to do that every day for a long time? That's what I'm looking for.
Beautiful. Well, hopefully I'll find that one day.
Well, I think you can't, if you, like, make the other pit stops along the way, it gets in the way. You just have to, you know, I always say it's like eating. Like, I don't ever, I eat what I eat, right? So some things aren't food for me. So when I hear people go, well, all they had was Burger King, that would never be my story. You're like, oh, she didn't eat for 3 days.
There was only Burger King. She's, yeah.
Right. That's not even food for me. That's not even in my realm of an option. So if you go, well, it's only these piece of shit ass niggas. So I'm just going, no. You can change them. You can change them. We have the ability to inspire that.
But that's the thing. It's like, I don't want to do all that.
It's not a heavy hand. It's not like, I'm going to sit here and change you, because that's not fun for anybody. But they will change. Because I have a humdinger right now. He is something else. But he's changed. Not because I had some heavy hand and a whip. Like, you don't change. It wasn't that at all. It's just like, you know, constantly saying, like, what's the right thing to do? What is the right thing? And right is really like an estimation of effort. Like, if I go to push the door open and I push too hard and it breaks the glass, then that was too much effort. If I push the door and it doesn't open enough for me to walk out, that wasn't enough effort. So which is right and wrong is, you know, compared to the situation, right? I'm not going to sit here and say cake isn't bad. If all you eat is spinach, cake is great. So, you know, it's just constantly asking the other person. Where you have to say, sometimes I have to say, look, I'm not being your girlfriend right now. I'm being your friend. So talk to me like your friend, like you do the homies, like you do your friend. And then there are other times I'm like, no, it's your fucking wife speaking right now. You know, and it's just different hats that you have to wear in any relationship. Even with my own children, I have to say, no, I'm telling you this as a friend. And then there are other things I'm saying as your mother. I'm telling you this. So I think it's the same thing. You just have to not, you know, the other stuff sounds like enticing, but you can, I always say that I would do most of my dating on the phone, because I'd be like, see each other? What do you mean see each other? Like, we have about 2 more months worth of phone calls. What do you mean?
Not 2 more months of phone calls.
Because I feel like once they see you, it's now clamoring for sex. Now you just want to get in the bed. Mm. Like, I'm not here to prove to you that the poom poom is good. It is. God made it that way. It's good. Just imagine, whatever you imagine, it probably is fire. So, really, I'm just saying, you don't have to.
You got 5 kids out of it.
Right,
so.
You have 5 kids out of it. But it's just, basically, it's all the same and it's good. So, once we're past proving that point, then, you know, sometimes you just want to have some conversation. Like, what is the conversation like? What is the person's mind like? What happened?
No.
Okay. Is it videoing or no?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I could see myself being married again. I can't. The other piece of it too is I can't see myself being Tawny's age and not married. Mm. Like, that is not my story. Her grandmother's age and not being married. I haven't. And what I find is all these amazing independent women are lonely as fuck. So that it's like having everything and nothing. And I just spent some time with my 98-year-old aunt, And she said to me, we saw a couple, and the husband's helping the wife. And she goes, I always thought I was going to have that. And I said, what? Like, you're queen, independent, I could do it by myself, do it for myself, everything. Like, what are you talking about? She goes, marriage, I always thought. I said, when? When's the last time you're in love? She fucking said, when I was 35. 68 fucking years without being fucking in love, and you thought that was your story? But I see it all the time. I see women get pickier and pickier and pickier. Instead of just finding someone you fucking like. They gotta have this, they gotta have that, they gotta... No. Find someone who's a good fucking person who you're nuts about.
So you think women are getting pickier? You think women need to be less picky?
Is it is it working for you?
Right. Know that if you have to try too hard to get them to come to your level, then it's not worth it. But also know that there is
you no just have is someone is someone workable. Like, we're not all women aren't showing up to the table perfect without our shit. Right. Like, focus on getting your own shit together. Once you change, your whole environment will change. You'll change. We have the power to change the world around us. So keep getting your shit together.
How would your kids feel if you got married? What do you think?
I don't think they care.
They don't care?
I just know that sometimes it's like, it's kind of burdensome to have a parent that's just out there on their own and not... With you know, partner. Like, oh, what is she going to do for Labor Day? What is she going to do for... Like, I'm trying to be that bitch.
Like, calm down, because like, you know she's not doing anything.
Right, she's not doing anything on Sunday. Let's take her a plate, see if she wants to come. Like, I'm trying to have my own life. Like, I still have a whole life. I want that for them. I don't want to worry about them. As a mom, I'm like, okay. Like, I love when they're enthusiastic and in love and with someone. So I don't think they, I kind of low-key don't even care what, you know, my children are grown. I don't care what they think about if I get married or not.
How do they feel about your partner now? Do they like him?
Yeah, but they don't have to. I don't need anyone else to like him. Like, I need him to be, like, kind and polite to, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But so, they're not, like, in the house at this point right now. So it doesn't
the whole family thing? Like, having that, I mean, the family dynamic, does that only include you and your partner? Or does that include your kids, you, your husband?
Well, it's kind of the merging of those things together.
Being in a happy, and genuinely, in like, interacting in a genuine way.
Yeah, but I'm not, that's like, tertiary to my primary, like, if I choose this man... My children's feelings are like way down the road because they are grown up, and unless they were like, we just think he's a piece of shit, and I would know that, right? He's a piece of shit, and he's the worst, and he's a liar, and he's a cheat, you know, which he's none of those things. He's kind and polite and mannerable. That's it. That's all I need him to be with them.
Okay.
I'm not trying to have someone raise them or influence them or anything. It's like I also, and for my children, I also want them to have a regard for the fact that I'm happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not, you know,
that's
not a delusion. Right. My happiness is important, and it may not be what they want from me. I mean, I don't have that with my kids where they're like, we want this for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my kids are kind of that, you know, millennial generation or whatever comes after millennial, where they're like, do you? Like, are you happy? Does it make you happy? Then go for it. So, that's not really like a factor in it. But I will say that a woman has more power to inspire a man than, and it's not so much change him. It's a very, like I said, it's a very light touch. This man that I'm with now, he is just a very different person because he also was in a space where he just wanted better for himself. So a person will observe life and see what they want for themselves and go after it. You just have to sit there and be a good example. That's also what good parenting is. Good parenting, a lot of times, it's like you want to tell them. I find that the telling them, beating them over the head with it doesn't work. If ever I want my teenager and adult children to do anything, I just sit and have an adamant conversation with you, and I know they're within earshot, and they pick and choose what works for them.
Oh, you have a conversation with someone else.
I have a conversation with you about it, about how I feel about certain things and what kind of works, but to you, they're within earshot. and they're selecting their own ideas, and you have to just like hold your stomach and bite your lip and let them fall. Sometimes that's one of the chapters in my book, The Lessons in the Fall. Sometimes you gotta allow them. A lot of times it's not you saying the thing over and over. You go, you fell. Can I help you with that? Do you need anything? Do you, like, that's where the lesson is. So,
cool. I'm going to take all that advice from Iris, a teenager. I feel like it's,
teenagers.
She's already very,
ting-ting.
She's just
a humdinger.
Yeah. Humdinger.
Yes.
I'm going to start calling her that.
A humdinger. I'm telling you, you got to look it up. It's really just something incredible.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for having me. Yes. I feel like I just talk nonstop. Like, I'm like, who has that much to say, that much fucking opinion about anything? Did I answer everything? We covered health. We talked about health and men and
home birth, house, pregnancy,
parenting,
open relationship, no open relationship.
Yeah, I think we covered it all. Thank you so much for coming. Mm-hmm. Okay, y'all. Well, we will see you guys next Wednesday. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at goodmoms_badchoices. You can follow Daphne at Daphne Rains. And have an amazing day. Need an apple bum. Bye. You gotta put me on. But need an apple bum. You gotta put me on. But need an apple bum. I said you gotta put me on. But need an apple bum. You gotta put me on. But need an apple bum. I said you gotta put me on. But need an apple bum. Bonita.